Hey Tim, Steve is going to be calling in from his car, so we may need to help him with the agenda.
Okay.
Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, long time no see, Eddie.
I know, good to see you guys.
Yeah. Haven't seen John Carson for a while. Gotta put a camera on your golf cart so we can see you once in a while. Right. So Steve's going to be calling in. If he gets any trouble, I'm going to talk to him on the phone for a second. So. I don't see him yet.
Yeah, we have a couple more people trickling in.
Yeah, long time no see, John Adams. How you doing?
There's my unmute. How you doing? Wonderful, wonderful. How are you?
Excellent. Yeah, people are dribbling in. You see
You're looking a
Lee.
little like a pirate.
Yeah, I haven't got my parrot yet on my shoulder, so I'm waiting for it in the mail.
One of my old rugby friends is a pirate like that.
Well, there you go. Pirates of the Caribbean, here I come. There's Pauline. No, I just need our chair.
Good morning, Lyle.
Hey there, how are you doing, Lee?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
Good. Are you in Vermont or Florida? Where
I'm in Florida, sunny
are you?
Naples, Florida.
I hate you, so
I second
There
Hey, how are you, young lady?
Good. Good to see you, Lee.
Same here.
I haven't seen you in Simsbury.
No, I'm down in Florida for the
No. All
winter.
right.
Yeah. Are you still working for Eversource?
I am.
Are they treating you well?
Well, this meeting has been recorded. Maybe we'll talk off.
There we go. Tap three times if you need a rescue.
Yeah.
That's right.
Gotta watch
Well,
out
you
in
look
Naples. It's
good.
full of Canadians, so be careful. They're everywhere.
Well, it was 28 degrees when I woke up this morning. What was it in Florida?
Let's see, it was probably in the low 60s. It was nice.
Yeah.
We walked the beach every morning. It's very delightful.
Yep. Well, we're getting frost on the lawns lately, so it's a hint.
Yes. Yeah, I read the Hartford Courant religiously every morning, so I keep track of the temperatures and the goings on in Connecticut.
Yep. Well, our chair hasn't called me, so we'll wait a little while longer.
Yeah.
He was driving and had to pull over.
Oh dear. Lyle, how's the recruitment coming along for your successor?
We're getting there. I guess we went out a second time to
Yeah.
approve the list, and so I guess we'll see that before too long.
Oh, good. I saw you increase the salary range. That was good.
Yep.
They're going to do that in Weathersfield as well, I guess.
Well, there's a whole bunch of city manager vacancies right now.
There are.
Granby was very fortunate to get Erica Robertson. So we got two town managers for the cost of one.
There we go.
Her husband is Brandon.
Oh, yeah. Well, one can't quit very easily without the other. So.
We had to waive the residency requirement, but that
Well,
was
there you
okay.
go. Pauline, how many vacancies did John Elsesser mention this morning? for city?
He had mentioned four. One, two, three, four. But actually, I think Bolton appointed there, so it's three. So,
yep.
That seems light, though. It seems like there should be more.
Is Enfield looking again?
They have to be.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the news, but their town manager resigned effective December 4th.
I saw that. Yeah, a friend of mine sent that to me. Very strange.
Well, they've had a lot of instability for a few years. So.
Yeah.
20.
Hey, Doug. Long time no see.
Hey, Lyle, I have to drop off at 11 for a call. So just FYI. Okay.
Who can fill in for Steve before, so we can get started? I don't want to leave people in the lurch.
I'll nominate Dave Kilburn.
Yeah, he's the vice.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, the vice president, yeah. We can start the meeting.
Hey, Dave.
How are you all?
Doing well. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Lee. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
He's gloating in Florida.
Yeah, I've heard.
Just enjoying myself.
Yeah, that's the same thing.
Yeah. He's warm.
Yep. Yeah.
We'll feel Dave, that way again in 6 months.
Yeah. Dave, you're in Vermont now?
I am.
Wasn't cold out there. Yeah.
Near your son?
Yeah, probably maybe 5-6 miles.
Oh, that's great. You enjoying it there in Vermont?
The weather could be better. But because it was probably low 20s this morning.
Yeah.
And frost on the grass and cars, right. Stuff like that. So,
what town are you in?
Essex.
Oh, nice.
Which is pretty much having local drama because the village of Essex Junction has decided to split off from the town.
Gee. Oh, boy.
So, sounds just like Connecticut.
Yeah, it's kind of familiar.
Yep.
But I didn't remember that I was the vice president, but if I am, I would certainly be happy to call this meeting to order, unless that's Steve checking in right now.
That yeah, somebody just joined us on the phone.
That's his cell number.
Okay.
Saved by the bell, Dave.
Yep. He's on mute for some reason.
Steve, it's *6 to unmute yourself.
Well, in the absence of Steve's unmuting himself, let me call this meeting to order, and we'll move right on to the first action item, which is approval of the minutes from, let's see, March 2020.
So moved. Lori Spielman.
Second.
We have a first and a second.
Yep. And let's see. All in favor of approving?
Aye.
Aye.
Any objection or abstentions? And I will abstain because I wasn't at the meeting.
John Adams also?
Yes.
Okay. And moving on to membership renewals. Forgive me, I'm reading the agenda off another screen, so that's why I'm constantly looking away. But membership renewals, is that Lyle or Tim?
Tim, I think you want to go from that.
Yeah, so we have a number of expired terms. It's just been a little while since we met. Although our bylaws say that somebody is a member until a replacement is found. So they're, I guess, technically still currently members. So we can renew. Expired terms include Chip Beckett, John Carson, Steve Cassano, Mary Glassman, Richard Porth, and Brandon Robertson. And so I guess, you know, the action would be to have staff reach out to them and see if they would still like to be members of the committee and approve their extending their terms, if so.
So would a motion be in order to extend the terms subject to the members' interest continuing?
Makes sense.
So I would entertain that motion.
So moved. Carson.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any comment? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Moving along.
But actually, we have one other thing under that item, which is that the we have three terms that are up this year that we could extend as well. So Muhammad Al-Qadri and Hedy Ayers. And also we had Chris Duffy.
David?
Who was from, who do we have on the phone?
Steve.
Here we go.
Well, I will certainly happily cede my position to the chair.
Mr. Chair, if we could perhaps just finish this item and then turn it back to you, if that makes sense.
Okay. Tim, so you were saying that Muhammad, Hedy, and who was the third?
Chris Duffy, who is no longer with Leadership Greater Hartford, and I believe would be exiting the board.
Okay.
So the two people's, that would be coming for renewal would be Muhammad and Hedy. And I guess we would have a motion to extend those terms.
Well, let's ask the, since they're both participating in this meeting, let's ask if they would like to continue.
I'd be happy to.
Yeah, same here.
Okay. So I'll entertain a motion to extend the terms of Muhammad and Hedy.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Are there any comments? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? So we'll move on to officer vacancies at this point, if we can. And I would certainly cede the chair to Steve.
Are you there, Steve?
If he wants.
Or not.
Okay. Moving right along. We have officer vacancies. Tim?
So currently the treasurer is Chip Beckett. Who we would be extending his term, so we could ask if he would still like to be treasurer. President, Steve Cassano. Secretary is Lee Erdman. And vice president is Dave Kilbon. So we have two, well, possibly three of them present. I'm not sure. Did Steve drop off?
He's indicated to be here, but he's on mute, so I'm not sure what happened.
And again, it's star 6 to unmute, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
I don't think that's Steve on the phone right now.
No, you're right. That's not his cell phone number. He was on before, but not now. Sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He's for dropped off.
Okay.
Can you restate where we are then, Tim, in terms of the officers?
Sure. Treasurer Chip Beckett, President Steve Cassano, Secretary Lee Erdman, and Vice President Dave Kilbon.
And I think we'd be delighted to have you continue, Dave, if you're up for it, but wanted to check with you on your willingness.
I'm fine doing it, recognizing that I don't live in Connecticut.
Yep. And I think we have a wealth of experience on you and other members, many, many years of active participation on the region, to put it mildly. So the bylaws are silent. So I think a motion to accept or to, again, sustain that ticket would make some sense if you're up for it.
I would move.
I am.
Yeah, John Carson moved.
Second.
John Adams second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Any opposed? And in terms of Secretary Lee, are you willing to continue?
Happy to continue.
Is there a motion?
So moved. Lee be reappointed as secretary, reelected.
And Hedy, you seconded?
Sure, thank you.
Okay. If there are no comments, all those in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Congratulations, Lee. And
thank you.
In terms of the chair, let's assume that Steve would like to continue.
Mm-hmm. He's on the way to a funeral, unfortunately, which is what he's doing. So,
Do we know who's on the phone?
No, I don't recognize that number. Anybody else recognize that number? I don't.
Can we have the caller identify themselves?
And that's star 6 to unmute.
I thought it was worth a try. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Chair, the next item is a transition to a new executive director. Pauline is sort of the ranking person on the selection process. Did you want to describe where we are on that?
Well, before we do that, I did want to just update everyone. We do have other vacancies that will be filled because CROG has vacancies. There are a number of positions that are appointed due to their being officers for CROG. So currently the CROG officers, and I guess this will, Pauline, would this change today or would this?
Depends on the town.
This will be effective at the December meeting because the nominating, so some of, we had 20 policy board member turnover in this last election, which I think is by my counts might be the most ever or very pretty close to it. So the nominating committee is looking to fill chair, vice chair, and treasurer positions, as well as the executive, as well as a number of other positions. So, but some of the towns are as you know, they all have different schedules in terms of when different councils actually seat or are sworn in. So based on that schedule, we will have a new, hopefully, executive committee come the December meeting.
We'll have to come back to the foundation board with results of that and make adjustments as necessary.
And I just want to mention that they are automatically members of the board, so we won't have to do anything.
Right. It's ex officio. And thank you, Diane, for clarifying it's Doug Fisher. I don't know his cell number by heart, but I will take your word for it.
No, I just Googled the number and it showed up, Doug Fisher, go New York.
So. Thanks so much.
Okay. Nothing magical.
Yeah, Doug is not usually lurking, but I don't know what's going on there. Yeah, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can we assume that Steve will continue?
Yes.
Okay. So I would entertain a motion for reappointing Steve as the president of the foundation.
Second. Moved.
And there was a second in there?
Mohammed.
Who is the motion?
Lee.
Lee.
Second with Mohammed. Okay.
Okay. And so if there are no comments, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Well, in absentia, we'll congratulate Steve. And in terms of treasurer, I think we have to pen that until we find out whether Chip is willing to continue. So we'll hold that vacant for right now.
And yep.
We can loop back when we find out if he wants to continue. Let's see. We were moving to item 5, report and transition, and is there anything more, Pauline?
With regards to the executive director position, we are in the second round of applicants, and we're hoping, we're scheduled to have interviews on December 8th, hopefully a good result by then. So I would say sometime early next year, we'll have a new executive director, knock on wood.
Well, we'll certainly miss the outgoing executive director. Well branded behind you.
Yeah, like the branding.
We will sorely miss the outgoing executive director.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to work in progress. And I don't know who wants to report on that, but
I would ask Tim to report on most of it. I'll interrupt as you go along, Tim.
Okay. So the first item is the EDA CARES Act grants. So CROG and a number of other organizations in the state had applied for a grant from the Economic Development Administration under the CARES Act program. This was initially rejected, but then the state came back and applied for basically $400,000 for each of the regions, and that was awarded. So we have 4 projects that we would be doing under that grant, which we should be executing soon. It has been awarded by EDA. We are now just waiting for DECD to get us the paperwork so that we can be a subgrantee. But we would be doing an update to our SEDS, to the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy, with a specific focus on recovery from the pandemic. We would be hiring a firm, probably or an individual, to be a recovery coordinator for the region. This would be staffing our regional recovery committee and doing some coordination amongst agencies, towns on recovery projects. We would also be offering some technical assistance to small businesses with digital transition. Doing online ordering, having online pickups, online scheduling, things like that. We'd be hiring a firm to provide some technical assistance for them. And then the last item is that we would be doing some webinars and entrepreneurial meetups for entrepreneurs and small business startups And we're looking to partner with the Metro Hartford Alliance on that project.
Can I just add one thing on this? Yesterday, the Deputy Commissioner of DECD, Alexander Dom, indicated that we should have a draft contract this week on this. So there is a time frame on this. But I wouldn't necessarily put that as a hard and fast date, but that was what I was told yesterday. So,
and it's a two-year grant.
No.
But it's probably 2 years from the point that DECD got it, which was a couple months back. We'll have a little less time.
Okay.
And then the EDA Build Back Better grant application. So Build Back Better is a very large grant program that the EDA started. This was using ARPA funds. It's, I believe, $1 billion of funding that they put towards this. And the purpose of the grants are to improve and to accelerate regional clusters. And so CROG partnered with Capital Workforce Partners, the City of Hartford, and Connecticut Connecticut Center for Advanced Technology, CCAT, on an advanced manufacturing cluster program that would be focusing on four items, one of which is adult education. So adult workforce education, a lot of building up skills for the incumbent workforce, youth education, so focusing on dual track and on-the-job training, entrepreneurial supports and technical assistance for businesses in advanced manufacturing that would be headed up by CCAT to help them help businesses in the state, especially advanced manufacturers, adopt new technologies and processes. And then a place-based initiative in Parkville. This would be a advanced manufacturing innovation hub that the City of Hartford is pursuing in partnership with Stanley Black & Decker in the Parkville neighborhood right next to the Parkville CT Fast Track Station. So those are the four projects. We submitted that in October and awards are supposed to be made in December. Oh, thank you, Diane. It's a two-phase program, though. So the first phase is a planning grant that we have applied for that would be awarded in December if we get it. That's a $500,000 planning grant. And then there's a phase two that's due in April, which is for actual implementation of the projects, which can be up to, I believe they say, up to 70 or even $100 million of funding for phase two projects. They're going to award 50 to 60 phase one grants. Those are the planning grants. And then 20 to 30 phase two grants. So it's a very large program, very competitive. I believe they had over 500 applicants nationwide. There were four in Connecticut. So we've thrown our hat in the ring and we hope to get a good result out of it. If nothing else, we did do some good planning work and coalition building during the application process. I don't know if Pauline or Lyle have anything else to say about that.
No, I think that's pretty much the summary.
I'm happy to answer any questions as well. It's a pretty exciting program.
Yep.
But then there's the SEDS update / revision. So this kind of goes with the CARES Act grants. But one of the things is that our SEDS, which we adopted in 2019, a lot of the stuff in there has actually progressed. We kept the number of projects on relatively small, relatively constrained number of projects on purpose so that we'd have things to focus on. And that has sort of worked out for us. A lot of the projects have moved forward. Capital Workforce Partners has done a lot of work on dual track programs and earn while you learn situations. The Governor's Workforce Council, which is the next item. So these kind of are C and D are a little bit combined on the agenda. Mm-hmm. The Governor's Workforce Council has taken up the regional sector partnerships, which was a big focus of the SEDS, and has actually launched them in a number of regions throughout the state. In our region, Capital Workforce Partners is heading it up, and they're launching a tech partnership, focusing on sort of information technology positions, and that's going very well. another focus of our SEDS was Campus Philly. Thank you, John, for coming to the meeting, which is a college retention program And Advanced CT has taken that on and actually has launched it now. They've hired somebody to be the coordinator for that program. We had done a forum at the legislature on that initiative. I think it was February of 2020. So right before everything shut down. And that sort of helped get that started. So now that's on its way. So we've done a lot of stuff that was in our SEDS, and now we kind of need to add some new projects. So this EDA CARES grant will really help us to do some updates on that and focus on some new projects and new initiatives.
I could just add to that. Thank you for that update. This foundation board has actually been very involved in the economic development thinking for CROG and for our SEDS update. And we would hope to be bringing you some ideas on that. But the funding for the update of the SEDS is there. And I think we need to, as Tim has said, because a number of things have progressed quite well, we need to find new two or three game changer focuses, and we will be back to you. And I think there's an opportunity for picking your brain on what's in that SEDS. But I think it's coming along well, and we should know pretty quickly when we'll launch that. So anyway, just want to add that tidbit.
And I think if anyone has any input on that, we'd be happy to hear it. We'd love to hear ideas or anything that you have on what we should be focusing on in that SEDS update.
And when we do the written SEDS update to the SEDS implementation committee, we should make sure the foundation gets that specifically to provide input. So I think that's very important. I think Tim's mentioned the Workforce Council, which is the successor to the State Workforce Board, and they're going to be spearheading the second phase of the EDA grants, and they're going to be statewide and not inviting regional participation. So that's just where that's at. In terms of the economic impact study of rail improvements, we haven't met for a while. The CROG funded AECOM to do an analysis of the Hartford-Springfield-Boston rail economic impact. The shorthand is it's a $6 to $9 billion project to finish the hourly service from Hartford through Springfield to Boston with a $60 to $80 billion payback. So it's an 8, 9, or 10 to 1 payback, which is unheard of in a lot of these things. And we did a town by town analysis on housing, on commercial space and businesses. And there is nothing on the horizon that has this kind of potential impact, in terms of a $60 to $80 billion in that quarter, like there's nothing even close. So the paper was, I think, very well done. And it looked at what we've missed by being off regular rail service. So we've lost, 40,000 plus jobs because we were not plugged in. So we did that as the first study, and we've been presenting it. We have an event this Thursday at noon where we're going to be representing that report to the public. Thank you, Professor El-Khadri, for co-sponsoring that. So it's one of the many UConn co-sponsoring efforts. The other report that we did, and I thank you, Tim, for being the project manager in both of these, with Dan Hodge from Western Mass, was to look at ridership projections in the East-West Rail in Massachusetts. Massachusetts had extremely low ridership projections. And when you go back and sharpen your pencil on this, it's almost a 50% increase in ridership. And so the ridership is much better than they projected. So we continue to stir the pot. We have met with a number of U.S. Senator folks in Massachusetts, and ridership was one of the issues we worked on. So if you're interested in hearing more, both the economic impact study and the ridership study will be presented at noon Thursday. We can get you a Zoom link if you'd like to do that. But as I say, the upshot of this is there's nothing on the horizon with a $60 to $80 billion impact for this region in the Hartford-Springfield region. Mm-hmm. That's just a massive impact over 30 years. And we did miss out dramatically when the rail tracks were ripped up. And you look at the areas on the on regular rail service have done well. Areas without it haven't in the Northeast. So it's a pretty straightforward effort. So I don't know if there's any questions on the Boston rail impact, but it's something we've been working on to stir the pot and keep folks advocating to get that done.
Do you have any sense as yet where this stacks up with the recently adopted Infrastructure Act?
Well, I guess the key issue here is that most of the money needs to be spent in Massachusetts. And the Department of Transportation in Massachusetts has been less enthusiastic than we might like. But more specifically, a critical link is the Springfield to Worcester track segment, which is windy and very old. It's also a key. It's also a key freight rail connection from Albany to Boston. So there's a CSX freight rail interest in it. So to make a long story short, there's a lot of moving parts. We're going to be trying a conversation with Amtrak. As you may or may not know, Amtrak has a passenger rail access to tracks by right. So they don't have to negotiate very hard with CSX. They can sort of assert the right that they can do it. Now they certainly need to make arrangements. So a conversation with Amtrak might be a next step on that. They do similar services around the country. The Surfliner from Los Angeles to San Diego is fully operated by Amtrak for the state of California. We could do the same thing here. So to make a long story short, I think the addition of the infrastructure money is very, very important. But one of Senator Warren's staff, I think, said it very well, which is projects like this are pulled from Washington when you advocate for them, and they're not pushed from Washington. So we've got to get Massachusetts and Connecticut to pull a little harder on the rope to get this stuff done. At the Thursday event, Congressman Larson is going to provide a brief recorded comment, but Congressman Larson and Congressman Neal have been very helpful on this, but we have a lot more work to do. But it's basically the lack of enthusiasm from the state of Massachusetts that's holding us up. But as I said, the economic impact when we did it is very dramatic all the way along the corridor in terms of businesses, housing, and commercial space. That's sort of what we are. We'll keep you posted on this, but I think we're beginning to get their attention. I think the Boston Economic Impact Study got the attention of MassDOT and the governor's office in Boston. So maybe not favorably, because it doesn't fit the script they have, but they know that it works and makes sense.
Okay.
I don't have any other questions on it, but it's, again, in terms of things for this region, is one of the few things on the table that would make a massive economic difference. And this goes back to the Krug-Seds, where we wanted to look at a few game changers rather than a whole bunch of little things. We didn't want to talk about a pedestrian footbridge in a swamp. We wanted to talk about a few large things on workforce and infrastructure that would really move the ball. And this has proven to be one of those. I think well worth the effort that this group, as well as the SEDS group, did to indicate this was a major game-changing kind of project. So I think every indication is that that's been a good bet. We're not done. And as you know, Dave, having chaired the Transportation Committee for a long time, these things are not quick. When we started the fast track and we started Hartford Rail in 1998 or whatever it was, we've got to stick with it. So I hope we don't have to stick with the Boston Rail that long, but I think it's at least on the table. This is a major positive economic impact, and that Amtrak, I forgot to mention, has their own money, by the way, in addition to the infrastructure money. So the stars are aligning pretty favorably if we can get acquiescence from or interest by the Massachusetts administration.
Can you definitely send us the
Lila?
Nope. Sorry,
Hedy.
Go ahead.
Lila, I had it.
Go ahead, Lee, and then Hedy.
Yeah.
Okay. Lyle, I had another question on that. Luke Bronin is the chair of some
North Atlantic Rail
coalition related
to
this.
Rail.
Is that helpful in this process?
Yeah, he's also on the panel on Thursday. Yeah, this is an interesting but long and winding story, but here's the deal. High-speed rail and regional rail are different creatures. So if we put in high-speed rail between New York and Boston, we still need a regional rail network underneath it. This is the underneath it part, which is the Hartford-Springfield-Boston rail link is still there and needs to be there, even if we have a Hartford to Boston high-speed rail link. Having traveled these around the world, you know, if you go from Madrid to Barcelona, you go from Madrid to Barcelona. There's no stops. And you really can't have a lot of stops on a high-speed rail network. And people are going to be very disappointed about how many stops there are not on high-speed rail. So, and Mayor Brenner is well aware of this. So the North Atlantic Rail Group that he's the co-chair of sees the Boston Rail Link as a good first step. It's complementary to, and it's actually in their PowerPoint presentations. It's actually in the Amtrak wish list for Springfield to Boston and as a first step of North Atlantic Rail high speed. But high speed rail and somewhat slower regional rail systems are complementary. You need them both. And so we're quite aware of that. I don't know if that answers your question, but they're not contradictory. They're
yes.
And the thing about regional rail is it's a lot cheaper and you can get a lot faster. There's no new right-of-way really needed between Hartford and Boston. The right-of-way is available. Mm. So if you want to put in a high-speed rail line and do, you know, take 400 parcels, you know, you can imagine what that's going to be. So regional rail is a lot faster. So that's
gotcha. Thank you. That's very helpful.
Thanks, Lee.
Eddie?
Yeah.
Eddie?
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. You're welcome, Lee.
And I just put the link to the webinar registration in the chat.
Great idea. Thank you. Thank you, Jill.
Thank you. Perfect. Is it going to be recorded for folks that can attend?
Yes. Yes.
And you'll post it on your website when it's done?
We can do that. We've done in the past.
Okay.
That would be helpful. Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, they've been well attended. What do we have on the our star attraction with the UConn webinars was youth auto theft. What do we have? 300 plus attendees for that one. And so this is not going to be anywhere near as exciting to the general public.
Oh, that killed our, that created an unreasonable standard.
Yep, a standard we probably won't meet again. we did the youth auto theft. I think we've done two webinars on that, potentially doing a third. But this, we will record and we can make it available, Hetty. I think it would make sense, Tim, if you can simply send a link out to this foundation board too, just send a link out. Let's not make it difficult for people to look for it.
To register?
We have already sent out a registration link, right? Yeah, that's there. But I'm saying that's in
the- For the video, you mean?
In the chat, but I mean, actually the link to the video when we're done is just sent to the foundation board to have a look at if you wish. We'll make it easy, Eddie.
Great, thank you.
Good.
So that's the Boston Rail side. And for other business, Dave, I don't know if
you Lyle, do you think you'll be able to, the project can compete on its own for some of the federal funding that's coming in the infrastructure bill? Because not all the funding is coming through the state. Some of it is competitive grants.
Yes. Well, they have to, Massachusetts DOT has to submit. So our real barrier is Massachusetts' lack of interest in pursuing the project. But we did two things. I mean, this is, I think, CROG's work. First, it's a strong economic payback. So we demonstrated that with a study and no one has attacked the numbers at all. If the numbers are weak, trust me, Massachusetts DOT would have attacked them. And secondly, we proved that their ridership numbers were way too low. And so when you look at the way the federal government allocates this money, it's based on the payback and the ridership. The other aspect of this is that Amtrak's bringing their own money. Amtrak got, I'm trying to remember the number of billions, of their own cash. So it's not just the MassDOT requesting money on the infrastructure bill. Amtrak has brought some of their own money along. So we're hoping on some combination of a favorable economic impact report, a favorable ridership report, advocacy from Amtrak that has this as one of their priority corridors might actually move the ball in Massachusetts. So that's sort of the hope. But we've made a lot of push on this, but we're not done yet. I don't know if I answered your question, Professor, but that's sort of where we're at.
That's good, I think. I mean, it might be, is there like a group of, like a coalition of affected communities that can get together and meet regularly, or?
Yeah, we're going to have to work on that. I've spoken to Mayor Brunner already about it. So we're going to have to do it. I think we'll have to do it in a Hartford-Springfield combination. So Senator Lesser from Massachusetts and Luke Brunner have already agreed. If we put together a coalition, that they would be in the chairing. In addition to the point that Lee mentioned about the North Atlantic Rail, which Mayor Brunner chairs, he's willing to do both. So just to indicate they're not contradictory, but yeah, we have to do that.
I think another thing that we kind of need to do is look at the cost estimates from MassDOT, which, you know, we did the revised ridership estimates. But one thing that's been criticized about the MassDOT study is that the cost estimates are fairly high. There's some high dollar items in there that are a little unusual. And so I think looking at revising the cost estimates and perhaps looking at a way to phase it, because it is a, you know, it's a pretty big price tag for doing it all at once. But if there's a way to break it down into smaller projects like they did with the Hartford line, you know, you could implement it over time, which I think would be something to look into.
Yeah, we'll keep that on our burner, Tim, in terms of perhaps getting a quick analysis of the cost. The part that could be carved out is the Springfield to Worcester link. If you've been on that, it's a windy, horrid track and needs to be fixed. So that's a priority. The Connecticut segment of finishing double tracking to the Massachusetts border, some additional modest rail stations, and electrification are easily phased. You don't have to do them all at once. You can do those things sequentially. But the Achilles heel of this whole system is that segment between Springfield and Worcester that really needs to be fixed. The Worcester to Boston segment is done, and they're actually building a third track from Worcester to Boston. So there's going to be more capacity for us to get into Boston. So the bottleneck will not be there in terms of Worcester to Boston. So, but Tim, you know, we need to figure out if we're going to do an RFP or something, because I think that's the next, you know, we look at economic benefit, we looked at ridership, and now I think the cost structure is there as an issue that if we can sharpen our pencils on that, that would be very helpful to the project. So I'm sorry to belabor this, but I find it exciting. So it shows you where I'm at.
So is there anything more on item 6, work in progress?
Well, the only thing I would say is that we will send the SEDS update to you as a foundation board for your input and welcome your input as we revise the SEDS. We have the money in the EDA grant as soon as that gets nailed down. Again, the deputy commissioner says we're going to get a draft contract this week, so that will be coming pretty quickly. So involvement on the SEDS, and I'm looking at John Carson here, your wisdom on the SEDS revision, the economic development side, we've much appreciated. Along.
Yep.
So those are the main things. I don't know if you had anything to say on economic development, John, but those are the, that's where we're at.
No, it's fine. I think one of the great things will be trying to factor in how much of this pandemic and post-pandemic weirdness in the economy is going to be permanent and how much is not going to be permanent and what kind of adjustments may have to be made. But
yep,
I'll be happy to help.
And that's like, that's one of the core elements of the grant that we're getting is to try and fix that. But, you know, one of the things that I keep saying and is that it's hard to know when this is over. I mean, Germany is one of the better vaccinated countries in the world and just has now 50,000 new cases a day. So this thing just won't quit. You know, it's like the Energizer Bunny or whatever it is. It just, you know, keeps on giving. I mean, we've got wave after wave after wave, and we're not done. So we can't put a stake in this and say, okay, now we're done and we can sort of finish the recovery. Things like, you know, office space occupancy. We're very concerned about what's going to happen to downtowns. Well, we're not done. You know, in terms of offices, the uptick in COVID cases in Connecticut and doubled. It doubled in a week. And New York and New Jersey are going up. So to make a long story short, I think the SEDS needs to look at that post-COVID world, but it's going to be hard to put a pin in it until things calm down a little bit. We'll need to plan for that. But right now, and people sort of say, are we done yet? Well, no. I mean, that's the clinker here. So we'll have to do our best on that. And again, I don't think we'll know about things like office occupancy or people working from home and the recovery of various kinds of businesses until we do put a pin in it and know what the stabilized post-COVID rate of things looks like. And that's going to be, I don't know how long that's going to be. We're pushing 2 years now. So it's a real challenge. So.
It is. And let's see. Moving along to item 7, is there any other business?
Yeah, I wanted to, Mr. Chair, if I could just sort of offer each of the members any opportunity if they want to make comments. Does that make sense? Just general comments related to the foundation. I don't know if we can start with, if you're okay with that, we can start with Chris Kervik.
Thank you. Keep up the good work. I've got 1 week left on my term, much to my surprise.
Yes. Thanks. So we'll miss you a lot, Chris.
Yeah, it was just one of those things. It seems like it seems like I wasn't the only one that got caught by surprise. So, but I just if I'm not involved, I just want to let everyone know to keep up the important work that you do. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Mohammed?
We certainly appreciate your involvement.
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you.
Yep, Mohammed?
Nope.
Okay.
Thank you.
Lee, anything to add?
I would ask Lyle another question. And that is, Lyle, would you be interested in and willing to consider joining the foundation board? Once you're no longer affiliated with CROG?
That's an interesting question. Yeah, I'd be interested. That'd be interesting.
Great.
Thank you. Yep. Katie, did you want to make a comment?
Nope, just that I think that's a great idea to have you continue in
support. Thank you. I'm flattered. Lori?
Yes.
Did you have a comment before we close? I just wanted to suggest everyone give an opportunity to make a general comment if you had a comment.
Nope. Thank you. And I think it's a great thing if you could stay helping us out a little bit.
Thank you.
Good.
Yep.
John?
Yep.
Anything to add, John?
From John Carson, nothing, a good meeting. If Tim maybe has a moment to maybe just summarize a few of the high points under item 6 that you could remind us about and keep us on track for, that'd be helpful.
I think my suggestion, Tim, would be to try to put together minutes that are a bit more detailed, and we can use that and get that up to the board.
Fine.
That makes sense?
Yep, thank you.
Sounds good.
Mr. Chair, I don't know if we could ask Doug Fisher if he's here or lurking. If you want to make a comment, it's, I think, *6 if you're muted. Nope.
Apparently not. Sure.
All right.
Let's see. In terms of the next meeting, I know I'm skipping over adjournment. At the call of the chair, it sounds like... through December and into early next year, we're going to have a lot of things happening. So it would certainly be incumbent, I think, on the continuing chair to maybe look at maybe January, February for our next meeting. If that would be appropriate. And if you can kind of express that in the that sentiment in the minutes, Tim, when you send them out, it would be helpful. With that said, I think we can loop back to item 8, adjournment. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Lee? Second, Lori Spielman.
Okay.
Lee Erdman, also known as Darth Vader. There, your sound is...
Yeah, yeah, your mic is kind of compromised, Lee. Okay. So thank you all for your involvement. Thanks, Tim and Lyle and Pauline, anyway, and hope you have a great holiday, and we'll check in early next year.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Right. Have a good holiday. See you.
Good meeting.
Yep. Thank you. Bye.